The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my brother, main advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis.
I need you guys to keep in mind that I edit the podcast. And when you introduce these just delicious, delectable pauses, it's hell. It is hell on earth.
But it's fun for people at home because they get anticipation tingles.
They don't get anticipation. They don't get ASMR. They've listened to 500 fucking episodes of this. They've heard
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Okay. I'm building off of what we have said already about this, so you can't remove it from the show.
Okay.
This is Griffin, do your thing, baby. Everyone, I want you to meet my youngest brother.
Oh, boy, howdy. It'll be really confusing because that sentence is going to sound really normal once I do my sick stuff to it.
Okay.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
Just say your name.
This is Griffin McElroy.
Can I tell y'all something?
Mm-hmm.
Something I just found out looking up. Listen.
What was that?
We're recording this on the 3rd, so this is topical when I say it. Of course. Of course. The 4th of July in the United States is Independence Day. Now, it is also National Barbecued Spare Ribs Day.
Yeah.
Which, okay. Cool. But it's also National Caesar Salad Day.
Well, that's
how
for the spare ribs. It's a foil to the spare ribs people.
That was the one actually organized by Caesar Salads, because like for a day they could just fucking relax.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to come eat one of them. Mm-hmm. Not that day.
No
one's eating a Caesar salad. And if you have been tempted in the year of our Lord to tweet at me a picture of the grody Caesar salad that you ate on the 4th of July, I am not interested. No, don't do it.
No. Wait a minute. Is that the stinky salad? Because I think it is.
The one with choves?
You got the stinky salad going? I don't want to throw your, hot dog eating contest in the garbage can. Pick up Joey Chestnut from the armpits, lift him into the big garbage can, and release him. Squeeze gently, because he's full of wet buns. But do place him right in the garbage can, because I'm going to have that Caesar salad eating contest to celebrate the birth of the Statue of Liberty from the womb of independence from those mean Europe. Ones.
I mean, it's all one, right? It's just one.
It's just
everybody at the table does one, and then they go home as friends.
Is it end of competition? The biggest salad or the most salad?
I think that you make a bet on the weight of salad you can consume, and then it's like whoever gets closest without going over kind of deal.
Yeah, now you would have to not weigh, like, you couldn't have a weight running during it, right? You'd have to say, like, I think I will eat 10 pounds of salad, right? And then you just start eating, and then you say, and I'm done. I think that was 10 pounds. And make it about guessing how close you can get to the weight that you said.
I am getting really excited about this. This year's eating competition is going to be huge. The exact same people win every year. So it's thrilling for me. The same man has won the men's competition every year since 2007. Of course, Chestnut, who sort of took the torch from Kobayashi after it was his turn to win.
Wait, he exploded.
He exploded like Mr. Creosol, and now it's Joey's turn. And
one day Miki he'll explode. Sudo, one day he'll explode, and I'll step in.
2015, sorry. I want to give credit to Matt Stoney, who bested Joe in 2015. But that's been it. It's been pretty uneventful since then. This year, Joey is going to be looking to top a record 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. If you guys had to take on Joey and bring him, take him down, take him out, what would be your strategy?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how many hot dogs do I think I could consume in 10 minutes? Because I think my strategy would be to tap out really early.
Oh, interesting. Well, so not eat as many as anybody else.
And I have stuff to do on the 5th. And you know, I would argue that
Joey's got stuff to do on the 5th.
I will tell you. Joey, I would guess Joey keeps a clear calendar on the 5th. He's got an appointment
clear
with
calendar and a clear path to the bathroom.
He's got a completely just non-existent Google calendar. I would say from the 5th to the 12th.
He's got Clippy. Like, I see you're trying to schedule something on the 6th. Are you sure?
He's got his iPad plugged into the charger in the bathroom. Netflix ready to roll, baby.
He probably already has Shazam downloaded.
He's ready to watch Shazam. Yeah.
He's ready to fire it up. Poop all day.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question? It's the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. So. What?
The worst.
What's funny about that? You're thinking about his big poopy?
The whole thing.
The whole thing
the
is
whole
wild.
The whole thing's the worst.
Yeah, our show?
So Nathan likes to make people hurt, and so obviously Nathan loves this. Nathan loves watching Joey Chestnut and his weird bad throat just destroy all these dogs, right? And everybody gets so excited from Nathan's when they see this, and they celebrate the nation's independence when they watch a man eat 74 hot dogs, which is terrible. In 10 minutes. But let me ask this. Do you think the company that makes the buns is as psyched to watch their creation get besoiled in a big nasty cup of grime and then slurped down? That's not even a gnarly enough onomatopoetic sort of creation.
Slurped.
It gets packaged down the throat. I bet you the bun makers are like, ah, fuck. That's not good promotion. No one's going to see that and be like, you know what? I could go out and eat some regular hot dog buns with nothing on them.
Well, that's the thing. I think maybe this will be the year. This is my side bet for the hot dog that Nathan's goes, hey, you know what? This might be the least appetizing way to try to advertise our product.
The least. It's like if they were trying to fucking advertise Shazam by showing a movie theater where they have locked in 100 people for for 4 straight days watching nothing but Shazam. And then they walk out of the theaters. I want to hear what their review is.
That's the thing. So that's it. Hey, if I was Nathan's, you know what the hot dog eating contest I would propose is? Watch somebody eat one hot dog for 10 minutes and try to act like they're enjoying it as much as possible. And then judge you one by a round of applause.
Yeah.
Who most artistically savors a hot dog for 10 minutes?
Yes. Who can dress it with the best condiments? Who can savor it the most? And who had the most orgasmic enjoyment of a single Nathan's hotted dog?
No, that's if you moan in the daytime 4th of July contest, you are out. You save that for Nathan's After Dark. At Nathan's After Dark, we can get pretty raunchy on these dogs and these buns.
I'll have what he's having.
And that's my secret. A lot of people focus on dog-based sexual humor. Let's talk about that bun, though. Lots of opportunities for Nathan's After Dark, though. Don't get kicked out of the daytime.
It's kind of like a butt in some ways. You could say that.
A butt or a fanny or whatever.
Do you guys know that there is another title held by Joey Chestnut?
And it's World's Greatest Lover.
World poutine eating champion.
I mean,
can you fathom it? Can you fathom those delicious, those little pillows in the gravy, those little pillowy cheese gravy curds floating down a river right into fame and success?
He talks to his scheduler. Hey, what day is the poutine eating one on? The poutine eating one is on July 5th. Is my will up to date? Am I good?
Could you tell Mrs. Chestnut that I love her?
Here's some other Joey Chestnut world records he holds right now. Grilled cheese sandwiches. He did 47 in 10 minutes. Pulled them right down. Yumma dumma.
Huh.
Horseshoe sandwich. That's an open face one. That seems a little specific. I think he's just finding some things that people probably don't eat a lot
of. Joey Chestnut's grandma's special goulash.
Right, exactly. He ate one bowl in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He's got the pizzone record, baby. That's 7.5 pizzones in 10 minutes.
Oh, I could do that.
Could you?
No.
Interesting.
I could do 6.83 pizzones.
He did 53 soft beef tacos from Taco Bell in 10 minutes.
Oh, now that's a day.
That is a day. That next day, Valerie, clear my week. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can just assume that he's going to have bad shits for a long time after any of these.
And probably has some before, yeah. Right? Because he's probably taking some stimulants to clean the pipes out a little bit.
Where's the, National Celery Eating Day? The National, Roughage Eating Day? That's probably the day before the National Hot Dog Contest, isn't it?
Okay. And that's my limit.
We hit it.
There it is. Oh, wow. We found it. Cool, everybody. Mark it down. We've just broken the world record for yucking out Griffin. This is, as you've almost certainly guessed, an advice show. We are going to help you, the common person, with your queries for wisdom. And this is how we do it, just like this. My mom wants to start a YouTube channel about cooking. She told me she, quote, plans on it going viral. I've tried explaining that it doesn't work that way, but she doesn't listen. She does not even have a camera or a space to record videos, but she already has her channel and she bought a domain name. This is good. She also wants me to edit her videos. I don't know how to edit videos. How do I stop her before she throws a bunch of money into the black hole called YouTube? There it is. They don't have a funny name. They're just desperately trying to get help. That's what the username is for that one.
Ooh. I mean, Chewbacca Mom didn't have a fucking studio set up, did she?
Yes.
Chewbacca Mom didn't have a, Shure S500 whatever the fuck microphone, getting that that GoPro 4K shit. I don't know how YouTubers do it, but all she had was a cell phone, a dream, and a plastic mask of Chewbacca that talked.
Are you suggesting that she wears the Chewbacca mask while she does cooking?
Yes.
That could be funny.
Chewcooka, that's all I've got. Chewbacca. Damn it.
Chewbacca is good.
Lubega.
Lubega. Wear a Lubega mask while you cook.
Lubega presents Chewbacca, and Lubega pays for it and does live music in the studio while you cook wearing the Chewbacca mom mask. This thing writes itself.
That's viral right there.
That's viral.
That's going viral.
That's max virality.
You don't need a camera because she has a phone,
mm-hmm.
Right? So we're halfway there.
A space to record sounds like a kitchen to me.
Mm. Yeah, like a kitchen. She's gonna film in her kitchen, and you don't know how to edit videos. Cut out the curses. It's that easy.
Yes.
Just take out the boring parts and only leave the good parts. I've seen YouTube. They have tons of edits. You cut out anything where the person isn't talking or making noise. It'll be 30 seconds long. She'll make $1 million.
Good. Or leave the curses in. That might be viral. If she's like me and burns her hands on the oven a lot, leave that in. That's gold.
Imagine you had a YouTube video and it started like this. My mom asked me to edit her YouTube videos. She never said if I should leave anything in besides the curses. And it's just like 2 minutes of your mom being like, fuck, god damn it. Shit. Ah, the fucking batter. Ah, these goddamn eggs. Motherfucker.
That's going to be a good vid.
It would kill. You make a ton of money.
It's good to
She's
put
your be on Fallon.
It's good to put the secret out there, right? It's good to put your vision board out there. You want it to go viral. You plan on it going viral. That's that's probably half the thing. But sometimes you don't have to plan on it going viral. Sometimes it's a case of the less you want it, the more you'll get it. Like when I was in high school and for my TV news class, I choreographed a lightsaber fight with my friend Corey Jackson, and then we did a whole sort of light side dark side lightsaber fight skit. I didn't think, hey, in 20 years, people are going to fucking drag me for this so hard. They're going to drag me for this and they won't ever let me go. They're going to drag me and drag me and drag me until I'm bones.
Right.
And it happened for me. So it can happen for your mom. Have her do a lightsaber fight.
You still get dragged
This
for
happened
that?
To me. I was at the Huntington Pride Parade last weekend. It was a lovely, lovely affair. And I was filling in on Mamma Mia. And I was wearing one of those fun big costumes. You know the ones? They call them super suits. I don't know. The ABBA costumes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I had a pair of Gold LeMay pants on, and it made the front page of Reddit, which is so exciting.
Yeah, that's the picture exclusive. Of me
in these pants. I mean, the front page of Reddit. I went viral. Then I just went ahead and took a cruise on down to the comments, and pretty much two-thirds of them were, hey, I can see this guy's whole dick. And hey, your pants are too tight. We can see your entire penis, Justin.
Yeah.
Or stranger, because I don't know you. They're just, and they made fun of me because my pants were too tight in the crotch. And I think that's why I did good on Reddit. I don't actually understand Reddit that well.
Where's the bad part?
Just looking for this. Just going to find it. Just finding it.
I'd rather.
Oh,
I'd
wow. Rather my mansy. Wow, bud.
Can you see his whole
hey, bud.
Now I've got to look it up. Hold on.
I'd rather you guys not look at my hog recording, but that's okay.
Just,
it's an unconventional podcast.
Is it listed as Justin McElroy, or should I just search like gold pants? Reddit.
Cool hog.
Justin McElroy, cool hog. Justin McElroy, there it is. Okay.
I mean, the pants were tight. I don't.
The pants were tight. Really, the pants were
tight. The pants are tight. I just. I all see right. Your whole thing, dude.
Yeah, it's like not a good. It's fun. It's all
a good
fine.
Look. Hey, it's good. Look.
All right, I gotta get. It's all. I fine. Got a Yahoo here sent in by Adrian Kels. Thanks, Adrian. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Tim. Asks, why don't we just crush our trash? Why don't we just crush our trash? We got all this trash. I've seen it. It's bad, Wally, but real, can you imagine? And it's taking up a lot of space, right?
Yeah.
Well, when I have food on my plate and I want, like if I have a big piece of bread and I can't fit it in my mouth, what do I do to it, Travis?
You crush it up.
I crush it in my hand. And I put it, I squeeze it as hard as I possibly can, and I make a little bread gumball, and I just whoosh, whoosh, just pop that in there. So let's do that with trash, except we do not eat it.
Do you mean, Griffin, I'm sorry, I'm going to save you from having to get this on Twitter. Do you mean like Wally?
No, because that was a fun, I think you're confused again, because I literally just said this, but that was a fun movie. This would be a real crushing of trash, a real trash crush.
Yes.
They do. The truck does this.
Yes.
We don't need to do this in our home. The truck does
well,
it.
Well,
that is true. I live in fear of that.
That's the thing. But we can say that. It's sort of a, oh boy, it's sort of a Schrodinger's cat. Because nobody's been inside to confirm that the trash is getting crushed inside the truck. But if somebody did go inside to confirm it, they wouldn't be able to get out. That's a catch-22 and a Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah. That's what happens with Schrodinger's cat is until you look in the box, you don't know if the cat has been crushed or not.
But when you do look, it's made it crushed. Okay, it's not a Schrodinger's cat. It's just a catch-22. I take it back. I think a lot
of
things.
It's just a crushed cat.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. So.
Don't put your cats into trash.
This is obvious. Cactus. Thank you. The trash truck, we don't know if it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. It makes a lot of noise, but nobody actually gets in there. So.
But here's the problem. If you crushed it, Griffin, and then you delivered it to the sanitation workers all crushed up already.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what? Then what do I do?
What are we going to do? I love making the trash a small.
But yeah. Like, that's got to be the best. When you get like a gnarly crunch from a big bag of light bulbs or something.
Yeah, I threw.
Or like they left some of those air pocket packing materials that Amazon does sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Left Joey Chestnut in the can. And he got made real little.
Oh, I forgot to get him out.
Oh, no. I mean, Trav, to answer your question, you squirch it up, get it tiny, better for environment. You ship it on off to garbage town. What do? They crush it even tinier, man.
Whoa.
This is good.
Can you imagine eating Joey Chestnut?
This is a wild gastrointestinal episode. This episode is a just sort of journey through the GI tract.
I just think if you ate him, it would be an unreal flavor.
All right, I'll just play this game. It's 9 p.m. tomorrow, July 4th. You eat Joey Chestnut. Have
I would ne- there's no way. Okay, no.
Wait, let me finish the question.
There's
let
no way I'm eating Joey Chestnut when he's all fucking full.
Let me finish the question.
If you did it in 9 minutes and 59 seconds, you automatically
become
the winner.
Are you now the winner of the... Yes, thank you, Travis. And this is not a bore thing. Shut the fuck up. If you ate Joey Chestnut at 9 p.m. tomorrow, have you now eaten 71 hot dogs? Discuss.
Yes. 71 hot dogs plus... all the hot dogs he's ever eaten to become the person he is today. He is more hot dog than man.
That's what I'm saying. It's like dry aged.
Mm-hmm. He is foie gras.
Dry aged. It's like corn fed, except it's poutine and grilled cheese sandwich fed.
Okay. So, can we crush our trash, though, and make it littler? Better for
you know, I'm pretty sure that the Big Bang happened, right? And then everything's expanding out, and then eventually everything will retract back in.
So let's help it out by crushing our trash down. I don't think there's a reason not to. I'd rather risk it being true and not need it. You know what I mean? And it's better for me now to squish my trash down because I don't have to take the freaking stuff out as much. So it's better and better and better. But then when I do take it out, it's going to weigh about 700 pounds.
There's that.
Because I've crushed it down so tight.
I do this with milk cartons.
Oh, la-di-da, Justin.
I do this with milk cartons, and then after I squish all the air out of them, I put the cap back on so they can't re-inflate.
Oh, these fucking tricky milk cartons always.
Fucking.
And the trash.
Us millennials will try anything.
And the trash people love to make balloons out of these things. Justin won't let them with his
own.
No way.
What I do, I use my milk cartons to make bird feeders.
Oh, that's so
and then when the birds are inside it, I crush them.
Okay, not good.
Gotta stop talking about crushing that's animals. Worse. We just got to talk about here. Let's talk about
don't
that.
Don't crush animals.
Let's make a rule: no more talking about eating Joey Chestnut or crushing animals in this episode. If we can just go
just for this
for the
one.
Rest of them,
I will try.
I take my soda cans and I cut them into shuriken.
Okay.
So
now
I can
crush
use them.
Those shurikens.
Yeah, when I'm done with the shurikens, they will also get crushed.
I was at work at a donut shop. When a customer asked me...
That was a seamless transition. I thought you worked at a donut shop, and I never knew it.
No. I was at work at a donut shop. That's a wild way of putting that, by the way. That's a like you work, and you just happen to show up at a donut shop and say, I'm going to do the work here today. I was at work at a donut shop when a customer asked me, what is the best donut for a 14-year-old? Mm. After studying the menu a long time, I said the first flavor that came to mind, blueberry. But I'm afraid I may have led her astray and not given her the correct recommendation. Help me, brothers. What is the best donut for a 14-year-old? That's from Donut Dilemma in Dallas.
Blueberry's not bad.
Yeah, I appreciate that you think we know what the best anything for a 14-year-old is. Because I think you can look at our body of work and know that that is not true. I don't think we know, as evidenced by the fact that we keep making these fucking Fortnite jokes, fam, and there's nobody playing this thing anymore. Everybody's back on Minecraft again, and Ding Dong Ditch.
They?
It's Minecraft and Ding Dong Ditch now.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I stepped away from the computer for 35 seconds. How about a Fortnite donut?
Maybe Joey Chestnut flavor. Damn it!
Damn it! Crushing a dog. This show sucks.
maybe that's an ironic donut.
Maybe blueberry's really good. I just 14 starting high school body. I'm trying to put us in the right headspace to talk about the donut.
Okay.
So let's everybody get everybody. It's Griffin. Get 14. Body's changing. High school. Things are changing on the body, and driving a car soon. Scared of that. And
but not yet.
Not yet. And friends going away, friends coming back. And what am I going to...
Where'd they come back from?
What am I going to be? And the changes are so... There's just changes on changes of the body on top of changes. And real quick, what's the best donut?
Donut holes.
Joe.
I didn't get you in the right headspace, did I?
No, I don't. I mean, I liked them all. I liked them all.
A Pokemon donut.
Okay.
Collect them all.
You know what? I got it. I fucking got it. Donut stick. some kind of one-handed stick-based donut. This is the donut that teens are going to crave. It is easy to hold with one hand, unlike your ringed donuts that make me exhausted to eat with both hands.
Yeah.
This is one sleek, sleek, pocketable donut. A donut you can start working on, and then maybe you want to talk to your friends over over FaceTime, like the Youngs do. Then you slide the donut right into your pocket, and you don't even sweat it.
It has a cap.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has a cap on it, and you can save it for later.
Don't worry
and
about it.
We can all agree, no jelly-filled. That's just going to get on your JNCOs.
Of course not jelly-filled. The JNCOs are gonna facilitate pocketing this donut, sure.
It's got millennial flavors like paprika and coriander.
Coriander, ooh, yeah.
And there is bacon on it for certain.
Chock-a-block with CBD. Gotta get it in there.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get it in there.
And, oh, boy.
And maybe they're collectible.
It looks printed on it is the face of Billie Eilish or Eilish. I've never heard someone say it out loud.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
One of those two is on there.
That's cool. And maybe inside of every 10,000th donut is a ticket, and you can exchange that to FaceTime with Billie Eilish. For 1 minute, because everybody wants to get a touch of the you know, this new kind of fame that's been going around.
Touch of the Eilish.
And that's all. Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
So that's a good donut. Is it going to taste good? Who the fuck cares?
No, it's ironic.
Teens are not tasting things these days.
It's about being seen.
They've burned their tongue on all their lattes.
Now, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's going to help get this over is if we have a promotion with every teacher in every school ever, and like school superintendent, president, all the faculty, that these donuts are not allowed in the school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now.
Ban them like pogs.
Ban them like pogs. And more recently, little vapes. But let's do pogs. And then these are going to be so fucking hot. You're going to be in the bathroom taking a whiz, and you're going to hear pop, and you know that's the donut cap coming off. And you know somebody's breaking the rules in there. Oh, that's fucking cool.
That's so fucking cool. Man, there's a cool donut. Cool. I wish I could eat it.
Also, it's a tech deck. It's got wheels on it, this donut.
Whoa.
No, it likes tech decks. Are you kidding me?
And it's gigantic.
They're so over.
No.
Tech decks are over.
Tech decks are back. Minecraft's back. Fortnite's out. Vaping is out. Roller skates are in. And being not.
I'm going to try to buy a tech deck right now.
Okay.
How, Griffin, is soap carving in or out?
Soap carving's way in. Candle making is out.
Damn it. I like both of those things equally.
Yeah, they're on Amazon. You're right. Are they back?
They're back, motherfucker. Grind one out with your fingers and eat my cool donut. Are you buying a tech deck right now?
No, I Googled it. It said, are tech decks worth money? I mean, they're worth something. There's some amount of money.
Are you talking about they're collectible?
There is a story from as recently as March 14th, 2019, titled, Are Tech Decks Cool Again? So I guess they are coming back.
Fuck
there
yeah.
There's a chance, yeah.
Instagram fingerboarder Spooky FB said fingerboards are not toys. They are professional things. They're professional things made of wood. Big trucks and professional wheels.
Big trucks?
Let me
fingerboards
look.
Are not toys. They're professional things made of wood, big trucks, and professional wheels.
Are we talking about different things?
This is like the fucking Fushigi contact juggling thing again, I bet. Where we talked about Fushigi and a bunch of dope contact jugglers were like, Fushigi's bullshit. They tried to steal our whole thing and brand it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how Tech Deck did. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Maybe it's that same situation.
I also am really excited because this video I just opened, starts with a person sitting there with two tiny skateboards in front of them and what appears to be a miniature rail that one might grind upon.
Hey, folks at home. This is Griffin. This is the edit. I just wanted to hop in here and say that I cut out 45 minutes of us talking about tech decks and tech technology. So I'm just going to hop forward and drop you back in at the point where Justin has just spent $150 on tech deck blind bags. So here comes that.
I just don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I have a family to support. I can't be doing this just to prove a point.
That was your grocery money for the week, Justin.
To prove a point? I'm going to buy $150? I'm going to have a lot of fun, sure, but...
But you can't feed your family with tech decks?
You can't. Wait, you can.
There is one thing I could try.
What's that?
We could go to the money zone.
Hey, I did a funny thing on Wonderful with ZipRecruiter this week. Can I try and do it for you guys?
Sure.
Zip it.
Sure.
You remember?
Oh.
Rachel hated it, but I was like, zip it.
Did you say that to your wife a lot?
My zipple. I said that to her.
And you said that to your wife who you love?
Yeah, I love her. And she didn't like it.
The mother of your child, your life partner?
Hated the thing. And you know what? You know who else I don't know if they liked it or not? ZipRecruiter. I don't know if they like that heat of me yelling zip it and have a suckle in my zipple to the love of my life. I don't know if they like that, but you know what they do like? Fucking helping you hire good people for your jobs.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If you have a job opening and it's hard to hire people because you have to go through a billion resumes and check out all of these different job boards all across the globe and you have to fly to the boards and it sucks. Don't do that anymore. ZipRecruiter will send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, and then they use this powerful matching technology created by the HiveMind AI that actually controls all world governments. And it scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and then it invites them to apply for your job. It is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MYBROTHER. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I've just had an idea for a superhero. That is Leonardo DiCaprio as himself, but now he has electricity powers, and I call him Leonardo DiCaprio, and I would like to promote this new superhero, and I'm going to need a web presence to do that, so I've decided to set up LeonardoDiCaprio.com using Squarespace.
Hi, friends. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a podcaster on the popular podcast Sawbones. I'm here to talk with you about an important problem facing the internet today, and that's Squarespace. Squarespace started with the noblest of intentions, but now enables any idea, no matter how fucking dumb, to have its own website. Squarespace randomly and without any sort of background check will allow anyone to showcase their work, announce an upcoming event or special project, even a very stupid one, or promote their physical or online business, despite the fact that it may be really, really stupid.
Leonardo DiCaprio is free.
They'll let you sell things from their website. They'll help anyone 24/7. They've got award-winning customer support that, again, does not check for the sort of stability of your idea, the advisability, anything. They'll just let anyone make their own website. And I hope that you'll take the chance to speak out about this to anyone who will listen. If you could, please go to squarespace.com/mybrother. You can do a free trial and then put up a website that's not dumb. A good one to help counterbalance some of these real turds that my brother's posting up. These utter bricks. Use the offer code MYBROTHER when you're ready to launch and save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace. They must be stopped.
I purchased it.
Hey, folks, this is Griffin. Just another edit point here. Justin and Travis had a really nasty argument about Leonardo DiCaprio here, and I didn't want you to hear it because it lasts a long time and horrible words were exchanged. So I'm just going to cut you in and drop you back in at the point where Justin now loves Leonardo DiCaprio and thinks it's the funniest shit in the world.
Okay. Listen to this. He loves fast food.
Uh-huh.
He's the Craviator.
Oh!
Okay?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, and like many of you, some more recent than others, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were too, including wonderful women like Allison Brie.
I'm dead center on the balance beam, and this is like a big gym. All the kids' parents are there watching. I have to stop, like, you know when you have to pee so bad and you can't even move, and then I just go. I just pee right in the middle of the high balance beam.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with complicated, funny, messy humans as we reminisce about our adolescences and how they led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Here's another question. Some drunk lads just peed through the mail slot of my front door and into my living room. I live alone, so opening the door and confronting them was not worth the life risk. Very smart. What door modifications should I make to ensure this doesn't happen again? And that's from Camp P. Tamed in Ireland. Now that I'm reading this, you know who would be perfect for this is Jesse Eisenberg. Let me see if I can get him on the line.
You always just have the perfect person just bring, at the front bring, of line.
Bring, oh. bring, Deborah. He's got a Ray Romano ringtone. Oh. It's so strange. Is that him? Hey, Jesse.
Yeah. Hey, everybody loves me. Yeah.
everybody loves Jesse coming to Crackle this fall. Jesse from The Art of Self-Defense. It's such a pleasure to have you here on our show. I introduce everybody
what
that way from their next feature film project. Mm-hmm. That's how I always.
It's really polite. Yeah.
This is also
how we introduce my family at Thanksgiving. We just go around the room and talk about our next feature film.
This is Justin's demo reel for the next late night host spot. And so far, I think it's going fucking great.
So, Jesse, this listener of ours, someone peed in their mail slot into mm-hmm. their living room, and they didn't want to open the door, so they didn't get beat up. Mm-hmm. But they wanted – do you have any ideas for how to keep people from peeing in your mail slot?
I bet this happens all the time in Hollywood,
this has got to be
– Yeah. It's a major deal over there. Well, a few things. The first thing is get an external mailbox, you know, have it out by the – you know, by the street. Don't have it, you know, don't have this kind of immediate access to your house. The other thing I wanted to say is, well, first of all, you don't really need mail anymore. You can do everything paperless. Okay. That should be, that should go without saying. And the third though, this exact thing happened to me. But it was not pee. A guy used to kind of defecate outside my house in New York City, almost nightly. And, I didn't know what to do. I knew who it was because I would see him, but I didn't know how to confront him, so I was so nervous. And then my friend came over, and we were looking out the window, and I saw that was the guy. So my friend said, oh, hold on, I'll go out there and talk to him. I was shocked, so I watched from the safety of my window as my friend walked up, shook this guy's hand, and started talking to him. He was like a homeless guy in the area, and he needed some new shoes. So my friend came back in my house and said, hey, do you still have that pair of shoes? Because I had a pair of shoes that were given to me, because actors sometimes get clothing. I said, I do. So he brought him the shoes. They talked for like 15 minutes, and the guy never did again. And also my friend was like able to help him out and met up with him again. It turned out to be this, you know, from this kind of scary situation to this like really beautiful reconciliation with somebody who I would not have otherwise spoken to.
Jesse, do you find, because this is something I find in my day-to-day life, I find that people who can directly communicate with other people about issues in their lives in these sorts of situations seem to have a sort of superpower that is unfathomable to me. The idea that you would just go out and ask the person, it would be great if you would not do that. It would be excellent for me.
So this is my best friend, Lee. He's taught in the juvenile justice system for kids who are incarcerated for the last like 22 years. He just celebrated his 22nd year of teaching. And he has this magical way of speaking with people. Now, this is a guy who's like my level of like social confidence, which is to say like not soaring. And yet when it comes to like talking to people who are in need of some extra help in society, he is unbelievable. like he couldn't even teach in a regular school because he kind of felt like intimidated by the kids. But working with incarcerated kids who are in need of some extra attention, he thrives.
That's amazing. So
now, see, this is good because my answer is going to be put some fake teeth on your mailbox to make it look like a monster so yeah, people won't put their genitals near it. But yours is nice.
Yeah.
Yours is a nice.
Yeah, yeah, my answer is better. Yeah.
Just to summarize, the answers, the advice here is exterior mailbox because nobody can pee in that. And then I think the mail slot in the door is just that era is over. Doors are there for a reason. We can't put fucking holes in them. That's my that's the fortress gate. And then the third thing is when some drunk lads come and pee right into your house, the first thing is pay it forward right then and there.
That's right. You have to have an extra pair of shoes on hand.
That's important. Jesse, I'd like to talk about your new movie, Art of Self-Defense. We've all watched it, which I know people in these sorts of situations are always supposed to say, but we really did.
We really did
because we talked about it afterwards, and we just adored it. It kind of reminded me of the first thing I ever saw you in, which was Roger Dodger. Which was in and of itself sort of this exploration of like masculinity. It's about an uncle teaching his nephew how to, quote, be a man, unquote. And I would say it subverts it towards the end somewhat. But I think in the Art of Self-Defense,
it gets into the underlying sadness.
Yeah, it gets into the sadness of it. I feel like this is a much harder subversion of the idea of masculinity.
Yes. Wow. And thank you for putting my oeuvre into context. I actually never thought about it that way, but you're exactly right. It does. That other movie, Roger Dodger, is kind of like a naturalistic kind of funny drama about that, whereas this movie is like this very subversive, harsh, blunt kind of take on like a kind of commentary on masculinity. I mean, the movie is hysterically funny, but also displays like men talking about masculinity in such absurd ways.
I feel like it almost has to be as sort of outlandish and nearly surreal as it is, just so the people that took Fight Club seriously don't watch it and be like, yeah, this is good. I'm loving this. This is
that's
a
exactly how I should
this
act.
Is the way I want to go.
Right. I'd be really surprised if somebody took it as a kind of sincere how-to guide on masculinity.
Jesse, well, it's 2019, bud.
Yeah, someone's going to definitely take it.
For sure.
All that smart stuff's real cool, and I get it, and it's good. It's good, and it makes the movie good. But like, also, dude, there's some badass fights in here. You kick some, dude,
no, Griffin,
Jesse,
no.
Jesse, bud, you kick some major tush in this one, man.
Yeah. Thank you for censoring yourself right at the end there. There's like we have like some. It's a martial arts movie, so there's like amazing, and we also have like some of the best martial artists in the world, like acting in the movie, who also like happen to be actors, and so there's some amazing stuff. And but we were kind of just like shocked every day that these people can do this. It was watching like Cirque du Soleil in front of you every day
because they were doing ass, man, unbelievable. Radical.
Jesse, as you certainly know, I am a blue belt in Taekwondo, and I have to say it is it is unnerving the extent to which a lot of your experience, especially in the early parts of the film, not so much later as the story unfolds, but like certainly early on, it did reflect some of my experience walking into a martial arts class. How method did you go for this? Did you go take some classes and try to experience that for yourself at all?
Yeah, I have like very strict classes for the movie because karate in general is just much more strict than I'm used to. I was like broken down after 20 minutes. I mean, it was just incredibly rigorous. And then I'm only a yellow belt in the movie, which I kept trying to tell her, you don't understand, I'm not supposed to be that good. And but she was so intent on, you know, making us as good as possible that it was exhausting.
The only difference in my experience was that I did have to fight the kids. I had to spar against there was not an adult white belt class. The adult white belts fought the child white belts. So I would spar against children.
Wait. Really?
It's the worst. It's the worst possible scenario because the kids just kick you in the nuts. It's the only move they know. It works 100% of the time. And there's not a reality of what you could be like, you know what? I'm going to punch this kid in the face. I'm going to give him one good slug. You can't. It's simply not doable. It's a terrible fight to be in.
This this is such a surreal experience to talk to you guys. It feels like one person is interrupting himself. And it's such a surreal experience.
You've discovered the joke, the entire conceit of our podcast. Jesse, this film, The Art of Self-Defense, it will be in limited release July 12th and then wider release on July 19th. Do you think people should see it?
Yeah. I mean, I this is like my favorite project I've gotten to do. So like, I'm so happy I got to do it. And the reaction to it has been like kind of like beyond what we could have imagined. It was like a kind of modest movie that is now, by virtue of the movie being really good, but also by virtue of like kind of people talking about masculinity in the same way the movie talks about it, like feels like it has some relevant thing to say.
It is a roller coaster of a film. Travis was texting me like, holy shit. I said, did you finish it? He said, no, I got about 30 minutes until the end. I was like, you have absolutely no frame of reference for how wild things are getting. So Jesse Eisenberg, thank you so much for coming on to our podcast. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
How about a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Okay, this one is from several people sent this in. Thanks. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Leonardo DiCaprio, who asks, how do I tell my hermit crabs apart? I got two hermit crabs around the same size with similar shells, but I can't name them because I can't tell them apart.
Paint them.
Paint them cool colors. The shell part or the skin part?
I mean, the shell part, right? That's got to be...
But they can change shells, can't they?
That's a good point. They could swap on you. You thought you were going on a date with me, but actually you're going on a date with Paul, the crab. We switched. Sorry. Rince? That's the name.
The name is Rince? This one.
The name of the character is Rince. R-E-N-C-E. Rince.
Okay, cool.
He sounded like a hermit crab hunter. He would want to date his hermit crabs.
Yeah, I mean, can you... get a witch or wizard to turn you into a hermit crab and get to know these things a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Get in.
You could hear their laugh and know them apart instantly.
Yeah, get to know their mannerisms. Like, oh, he's being a little standoffish. That must be Rince too. Rince Jr., my son.
That must be Rince Jr. He's the one who prefers romantic comedies, where Paul likes comedies that have an element of romance to them.
Yeah, that's how I tell them apart. Hermit crab's a strange pet, yes?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Good if you have too many bugs lying around.
Do they love these things?
But they love bugs. That's what they eat, are bugs. Or maybe leaves.
Hermit crab's on leaves, huh?
Alexa, what do hermit crabs eat? They eat high-quality commercial hermit crab food. That's not at all helpful. Okay. There's vegetables and non-citrus fruits. Mangoes, spinach. Carrot, coconut, papaya as treats.
Cool. Yeah, this is turning into sort of a hermit crab caretaking podcast a little bit. Not so much one with jokes
How about like 100%, not a caretaking podcast, how about 100% complete guide to hermit crab ownership? I'm done now. They're seashells that come to life and eat the coconut that you leave them. End of story.
They are magical wish pets.
Yeah, I think you probably have to get rid of one of them. You can't tell them.
What?
Well, because you can't have two identical hermit crabs.
And to be fair, it's a lot of responsibility. Two hermit crabs?
A hermit crab, first of all, is like totally fine if you just set it outside and say, like, go with God. Like, they will find their way. They can eat apparently all vegetables. All non-citrus fruits and all bugs. So, like, they're going to find their way downtown. Don't worry about it. If something, you know, a big predator comes in, what? Oops. My hard shell. Can't get in there.
Are they going downtown for, Griffin?
You know, finding love in the big city. But anyway, you can't have two identical hermit crabs. That's like having two dishwashers. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Do you guys want to know the red flags of owning a hermit crab? The things that really should make you sit up and call your veterinarian and say, hey, I got a real hermit crab emergency.
I don't think I'll ever need to know this information, but now that I've said that, I will need it at some point and feel like a real dickhead.
The first one is lethargy.
You know, this hermit crab used to have a lot of get up and go.
Yeah, nice.
The second
nice dragon ass. He must be dying.
The second one is abandoned shell and doesn't return. which, yeah,
I'll do it.
I would think that would be a huge red flag, since that they don't even have an ass, as far as I know, and they're just gonna
crawl
around sand shell. They have no ass. Here's the last one that they have listed here at the Petco website: loss of limbs. No shit.
Yeah, these are not good tips.
Really, loss of limbs is a problem.
What are the signs that they're about to become lethargic and run away and lose their limbs? Because I need to know the step before that step, ideally.
There is no warning before that. They just seem chill and happy, and then they'll abandon their shells.
That's life, huh?
I guess in a way, Griffin, I guess it is.
Hey, I want to do another Yahoo. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
Evan sent it in. It's Yahoo Answers user JoeyZ51 who asks, a hair salon used my cut hair for a wig. If they sold it without telling me, is that legal?
Huh.
Ooh, okay.
Would you know? You're walking around downtown looking for love in the big city, and you turn the corner, and who greets you? How can you be me? I'm me. But no, it's just your hair on someone else's head, because your shit got wigged.
I would definitely know, and I would definitely love it.
I would love it, too. And I would definitely know if it was Travis's. And I think I could honestly tell if it's Justin's. My hair is the most nondescript bullshit. Like, my hair is just like, it's just in the dictionary. It says hair. It's not fun.
This is hair. This is the default choice on the character creator.
When you turn it on.
I don't know. There's some hair.
You know how on all the Bethesda games, like, the hair just looks like hair? And there's not much character or excitement to it, but you can make your dude have hair. That's kind of what I'm dealing with. And I don't think that it's going to be recognizable in any way.
You ever notice how the hair in video games, when you're in the character creator, always seems to be floating like a half an inch off their head? That's kind of like Griffin. If Griffin turns his head too fast, his hair doesn't keep
up. It's true. But if you saw your hair, Justin, on the street, on someone else's head, what's you do?
This person knows. Like, they're for sure that they saw their hair on a wig. The question is, who has the legal ownership of that hair? My argument would be, if at the end of your haircutting, you don't get down on your hands and knees and scoop it all into a Kroger bag.
Right.
And that is then the legal property of the barber.
Yeah. Once it's off your body, man, that's trash. And another man's trash is another man's treasure is another man's wig.
Used to be one of my favorite prank calls when I was in college, to call barbershops to ask if I could come by and collect all the hair for an entire day to keep deer out of my vegetable garden, because I had read that worked. And it was a very pleasant, there's no punchline to it. It was just a pleasant conversation where I would try to see if they would let me come in and scoop up all the hair.
Cool, man.
And what did they say, Justin? You've got me on the hook. Reel me in.
They wouldn't let you a lot of them wouldn't let you. One guy did suggest that I add a little lime in there. I remember him saying that. I mean, maybe if you add a little lime, that would probably work pretty good to keep the deer out.
Do you think that he meant like the fruit?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Mix some fruit in your human hair.
I don't have it. I didn't have a real deer problem.
Yeah,
actually.
Travis,
I wasn't even a homeowner.
A funny sketch like Mad TV.
That's how Mad TV found me, actually. I actually called the Mad TV barber, and he said, I've got to get you in with Alfred E. Newman and the whole gang.
Mm-hmm. Hair donation is a thing. It's cool, right? And that's a nice thing to do. I just can't wrap my mind around the hair. At what point does the hair stop being mine? Because is all the hair on my head fucking forfeit from the moment I walk into the barbershop?
I think you have a window before they scoop it up. That's what I'm saying. You have a window. If their broom touches it, it's theirs.
Oh, if you can. No, how about this? If it touches the floor, it's theirs. So now it's like you're in one of those money whirlwind machines at the mall.
Yeah.
And it's like they're buzzing it fast. And you're like reaching out with your fucking great dexterity, snatching all the hair up and putting it right in your big pocket or your fanny pack that you've got. Then they see what you're doing, start trimming it even faster because they, you know, they want to get some of that fucking hair. That's where the money is.
Hello, my name is Travis McElroy, and I'm here to pitch an invention to you this evening. It's like an umbrella, but it's upside down, and it fits around your head. And then when it cuts the hair, it catches in the umbrella, and then you just walk right out with it.
So
I need $8 billion.
Yeah, yeah, to turn some umbrellas upside down and punch holes in them without losing the sort of umbrella-ness of the machinery inside. That's what I love the most about that, Travis, is that you're going to have your own dead-ass hair all over your mouth, chin, and nose for mm-hmm. a bit there.
Yes, but it'll be worth it to know where my hair is at all times.
Hi, I'm Travis McElroy, and I've invented the 360-degree full wraparound beard. This you're going to wear this motherfucker like a necklace, but it's a beard. Only loose and awful and no food. No food. Forget about food.
I feel like we set a record for introducing ourselves and each other on this episode. I feel like this is probably number one in terms of introductions. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening to the program. I want to say a huge thank you to Jesse Eisenberg. Holy shit. That's
yeah,
wild.
That was fun.
Go see the art of self-defense, and you can see that I guess in theaters. I don't actually know. I should check on that. That's going to be in theaters, select theaters July 12th, everywhere July 19th. The Art of Self-Defense. Go check it totally out.
Thank you to, John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album, Putting the Days to Bed. Cool track, man. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. They have a bunch of great shows like Beef and Dairy Network and Reading Glasses and Switchblade Sisters. Check them out, MaximumFun.org. And we have a bunch of other stuff at McElroy.family, including a new Monster Factory episode. That is just fun. I think is really funny. We played a game called Bless, and holy shit, it turned out wild. And we have a bunch of new merch too, including new Monster Factory merch for the first time. So
very true. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Griffin, do you have a final Yahoo to kind of take us out?
Yes, let's load that up right now. This is sent in by Bless. Merritt Palmer. Thank you, Merritt. It's Yahoo Answers user Lamberto who asks, did you cry when your plumber died?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother May Kiss Your Dad, Square on the Lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Listen, we already know that you love genre movies, film craft, and female filmmakers. So, if you love all those things, then by transitive property, you love my podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Hi, I'm film critic April Wolf. Every week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their favorite genre film. Each episode covers the filmmaking process, working in the film industry, and just like general geeking out about awesome movies. I've had such great guests like the Big Sick writer Emily Gordon.
To me, indie movies as of late have come to be a catch-all term for a movie that kind of defies genre.
Billy Madison and Half-Baked director Tamara Davis.
When a comedian comes and enters onto my set, they're just there to be funny, and we're all ready and waiting for them to be funny.
Horror industry veteran and actor Barbara Crampton.
That's where real drama lies for me. What's between you and I speaking right now? Where are we meeting? And what's the energy that we create between us?
And so many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.